Hey Nick, man, this is like the perfect May 1st to release an episode on, don't you think?
Absolutely. May is a great time to release an episode of our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we've been going month to month on the 1st, keeping this tight schedule. I'm really proud of us too, by the way. But it's just a beautiful day. Birds are chirping.
Yeah, I mean, it's May. What more can you ask for in May?
May, the May flowers bring showers or something, right? Something like that.
That's right. That's right. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 4 of Metroidvania Mayhem. This isn't actually May. We tricked you all. We missed a month, but hey, we're back. We're going to try to stick with this monthly schedule, even though we missed a month. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, I blame this game, which we'll get into later, but
It was just so much fun, we couldn't quit playing it. But
that's right, that's right.
yeah, man, how you been? It's been a while.
I've been good. Been good. I actually, it's a shame that we missed a month because I've been out for a month. Going back in, now we're
Yeah,
recording. So,
and it's been kind of a weird podcast time for me because the other podcast I'm in, we haven't recorded in about a month, so I'm a little rusty. It's good though. It's been
I
fun.
can't tell.
Good, 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 good. I just kind of woke up, so I got that little bit of phlegm in the back of my throat trying to talk through that, but you know, it's all right. No one's gonna be too
It's
upset.
like it, it's like our version of smoking a lot.
Yeah, maybe I can sing like Nirvana, you know, like Kurt Cobain a little better now. Cause I heard he used to smoke a lot of cigarettes to get that voice. So
Yeah,
just wake
I
up and
believe it.
wake up, do a show, go back to bed. Good stuff, man. Well, man, do you want to go right into this? You want to do some announcements? Is that what's next?
Yeah, let's do some announcements. The only real announcement that I have is I've dug through my archives and I do have a copy of Dust to
All
give
right.
away. So we'll give it away. I think I've decided we can give it away to somebody who gave us feedback for the show.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good way to do it. We got quite a bit, even if it was from the same four people. So
Well, it's a
we'll give it away.
better chance
We'll
for
give
them
it
to
away
win.
now. Yep.
All right, man.
And I guess after the announcements here, I guess it's time for this gigantic 2 month long segment, World of Metroidvania, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad you've kept up as well as you have, because when I looked over your list, I thought, wow, he's got a lot more on there than I would have. So it's a good deal.
Yeah, it's pretty big list. So new releases, of course, we've got 2 months worth
Yeah.
here, but the big one that we missed is was Axiom Verge, right? Did we
Yeah.
talk about it releasing?
I think we did, but we didn't really. I
Well,
think.
now it's out on PS4 and on PC now too.
Okay,
So
okay.
it's out on multiple platforms now. Maybe that's why I put it in the list.
Yeah, because I think I remember talking about how it was received. I believe it was well received. Not as well as I thought it would be. I think IGN gave it around like a 7 out of 10, which I thought it would get a better score than that. But you know, that's not a bad score. You know, it's a good
Yeah,
one, but
we did talk about it because
yeah.
it released on PC on May 14th, so we had to have talked
Oh
about it
yeah,
last time.
in our May episode.
Yeah, in the May episode. Well, so my only thing with it, and we'll move on to the next game, is I think it's a little expensive. It's like it's $20,
Yeah.
which for an indie game, indie games are typically, it just seems like 15 is the price point,
Yeah, I think
and
we've been spoiled by that, 'cause that's kind of how it came out on the scene, like when Xbox Live Arcade came around. You know, you didn't see a lot of games over $10, $15, so I think we've just been spoiled by that, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not worth $20. I wouldn't know. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me that just because I've gotten used to the 10 to 15,
Yeah.
that this just seems like this is double that. It's way too expensive.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
I'll eventually pick it up. There'll be a Steam sale or something, and I'll pick it up then, and then we can tackle that game.
Absolutely.
Next up is a game called Environmental Station Alpha. Environmental Station Alpha. Anyway, it is this game is it's almost a straight rip off of Metroid
Yeah.
if you look at it. But it's got worse graphics, or no, I don't want to say worse graphics. It's got scaled back graphics on purpose. It's really colorful, but it almost looks like it's an Atari game.
Yeah.
But the character design looks a lot like Metroid. It's even Samus, he looks even orange, and then there's even Metroid-y things floating around that you have to shoot, and the environments look super Metroid-y, but the platforming and it looks really cool.
And the character sprite actually looks worse than the backgrounds and the bosses and stuff. I kind of like it. I think it's gonna be part of its charm. And it's just like a random.
It definitely looks charming.
A random chunk of pixels.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing that I like, I don't know if you watched the video on it, but the animation of the, not the animation, but the, I guess the platforming and the way the character moves around the level, there's some really cool things that he can do. Like he's got a grappling hook and jet boosters and stuff. So there's some cool things that it looks like the character's going to be able to do, which, again, kind of rips off Metroid, but maybe they'll do it in some interesting ways. Yeah. So pretty excited about that. Looks pretty cool.
Absolutely.
It's already out too, by the way.
And you know,
for under $10.
And I kind of applaud them because you don't see a lot of direct Metroid ripoffs. You see a lot of Castlevania ripoffs, but you don't see a lot of the Metroid ripoffs, I would say. So that's kind of cool. I think a lot of people are going to dig this game.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I'll probably pick it up eventually. Again, probably wait on a sale. But next up, we have a game called Dex, and I'm not 100% sure if this is a Metroidvania. I know it's they call themselves a open world cyberpunk RPG. I think it may have a little too much RPG in it to call it a Metroidvania, but I'm willing to give it a shot because it looks really good.
Yeah.
The art style is just incredible. Of course, that kind of got us into trouble on Dust, which we'll find out here in a minute. But this game looks really cool. It's got kind of in a different, another reason why it kind of seems like it's not as Metroidvania to me is there's a lot of character interaction. Like there's a lot of people in the town and do a lot of talking, and it kind of falls more into the RPG realm than most Metroidvanias. But
yeah.
It looks like it could be pretty cool. Just because you're talking to people doesn't mean that, you know, it's not a Metroidvania. I mean, Guacamelee, you talk to people all the time, so.
Yeah. A lot of times you just have to play it, because there are so many games that people say, this is a Metroidvania, and I play it. I'm like, nah. But then there's other games you don't hear about, and you start playing it. You're like, yeah, I can see where that's a Metroidvania. So you just never know.
Yeah. So for now, I'm going to put it in the maybe bin.
Yeah.
It's already out, but it's also $20. So are we facing some inflation here or something? What's going on?
I think so. I thought we were going to get away with not spending so much money, you know, reviewing these games, but
we'll just have to stay away from the new ones.
There you go. You just kind of have a lag in between when they come out.
Yeah. All right. And then the last one that I know of that is already released is a game called Mystic Bell.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about this game other than it's very cartoony, and it looks like you're just a little magician girl and you're roaming around a castle. Yeah. That's about as far as I can go with that. But it's released. It's potentially a Metroidvania. So
yeah,
it definitely has a Castlevania map. I mean, it's a straight up looks exactly like Castlevania in the map. So
I like that. I like having that map where you kind of see nothing in the beginning and that just reveals itself. That's just a huge part of those games for me. So that anytime I see that map, it excites me. So
well, even the the art style of the map looks identical to Castlevania. It's got like a green rooms and red rooms the blue background.
Yep.
It's straight up.
Sign me up.
Well, speaking of, we're moving out of the new releases and into the new games on the horizon, and we're speaking of Castlevania. You're probably a little more excited about this, so you'll probably talk about it better than I will, so I'll let you take it away on this game.
Yeah, so a new Kickstarter, and this has gotten a lot of attention, even through mainstream, by Koji Igarashi, who actually made Symphony of the Night, Circle of the Moon, all the good Castlevania style games. He actually calls them Igamanias. I don't know if you've heard this term.
Just now recently, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we have a new term for this style game, but it's going to be called
Blood. The Igamaniacs.
Exactly, Igamaniacs. Well, I had heard that he kind of stays away from the Metroidvania to get away from copyright, but now you know he's not part of Konami, so I don't know how he's going to get around that. But this game's called Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. Now, when you look at this the picture of the art concept, it's straight up Castlevania inspired, of course, which is great. We've been waiting for another Koji Igarashi Castlevania for a long time. So this is on Kickstarter. He had a $500,000 goal, and it's almost at $3 million right now. So the interest in this is huge. I know I had heard an interview with him. He was on Kinda Funny Games Cast, which are two of the guys who used to do the podcast Beyond for IGN. And he did a interview there, and he mentioned that he has a developer in mind, or a publisher, but they needed to see what the interest was before they would accept him. So he got the interest, and the cool thing is the company that's going to be making this game, if I can find their I can't remember the name of the guys who are going to be helping develop the game, but they're the ones that helped or kind of did Mega Man 9 and 10 for the so you got a really good background of that there. And there's some stretch goals. I know one of the more exciting ones was that David Hayter would be doing voice acting, and they met that stretch goal like a long time ago. So for anyone who doesn't know who Dave Hayter is, he did Metal Gear Solid, real kind of famed voice actor. So they got that, and they just reached the Wii U port. That was at $3 million. So they definitely were going to do PC. He mentioned that the reason he started with PC, which I thought this was interesting in his interview, that most Steam games or most Kickstarter games are from PC gamers. They said they had some stat out there that the majority of people who back Kickstarters are PC gamers. So they started with that, and then he moved to Xbox One, PS4 port. Now they're going to do a Wii U port. Kind of hoping for a 3DS port, to be honest with you. That's where I'd like to see it, because I had more fun with these games on the handheld than I did anything.
Does the 3DS have enough hardware horsepower to do a game like that? Because the graphics and you know, it looks a little hardcore for the
3DS. I can see what you mean. The art concept, they don't have any animations yet, I don't think, right. So but the concept art looks pretty sweet. It's very clean, doesn't look pixelated at all, so that kind of, yeah, that might take the idea out of the 3DS out, but we'll see.
There's some pretty crazy stretch goals that have been met too.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're gonna have to do.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to do some pretty. They're gonna do a lot of work to get this game. This game may take a while to get put out with all the stretch goals that have been hit. Yeah. I've personally been. I haven't backed it yet. I was personally waiting on the Wii U port.
Yeah.
Which technically hasn't happened, but I think it's going to. I mean, yeah. They're actually only at 2,930,000, but they have 13 days to go, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be met. So I'm
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's why
go ahead and back it.
But I went ahead and rounded that number up to 3 million just because I know it's going to happen. By the time you listen to this podcast, I bet it happens. But yeah, I mean, it's neat because, I mean, they're already talking about using whips, which is great. I'm a huge part of Castlevania, and it's not that I don't like the games that focus on swords and axes, but I really like being able to have a whip in a game. There's not a lot of games where you get to say I'm using a whip as my weapon. So they had some concept art already of like a sword whip and things like that. So
speaking of the whip, did you mention the campaign before it was released, like the pre-release ad announcement campaign that they did? Did you notice that?
What was it with Koji kind of? He kind of put himself into a game. Have you seen the?
Well, yeah. There was a website that started that opened up with him, and it was just a one page. It was him in a chair.
Yes.
With his legs crossed, like a cartoon version or a pixel version of him in a chair, and all you could do on the page was say it was choose whip or sword.
Yep, yep.
And that was all it was, and there was no game for announcement for a game yet.
Yeah,
it was just choose sword or whip, and then. Like a few days later, it became this. So,
yeah, and it's really neat. He's got his legs crossed. He kind of looks like Dracula sitting there inside of a castle. And his little avatar for the Kickstarter is just like a hand drawn art style of him, but like kind of garbed up like he would be Dracula or something. So it's really like, I don't know. I was real excited that he wants to do a game like this, because a lot of times developers will kind of get sick of the old formula, and you know, he spoke a lot about how they're bringing some new things in here. Like the name Bloodstained actually goes a part with kind of the theme of the game. I guess as you go on and get powers and stuff, he said that your character actually has pieces of a stained glass kind of on them, and like it kind of builds. I don't know if it's an armor or something like that, but that's kind of why it's, you know, Bloodstained. Stained glass plays a big part in it. So I don't know.
Yeah, the main character is a girl,
yeah.
And she has stained glass, kind of like it looks like tattoos.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's the concept, anyways. So that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. If anyone listens to the Kind of Funny Gamecast, go check that episode out. It's Colin Moriarty, a translator, and Koji Igarashi talking about this game. So, and you know, Colin's a huge Metroidvania fan. I think he'll even actually use the term, believe it or not. But he came from IGN, so he's excited about this game. And that's kind of where
we should get him on the show sometime.
That'd be awesome. I think you know something that Aaron told me. He said Ross Beck's actually good friends with Colin Moriarty. So I didn't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Colin, he come here and school us. That guy's, he's a really smart guy. But I followed him from Podcast Beyond over to their new thing.
That could be the episode. He just comes in and schools us.
That'd be fine. And be like, we're not worthy. But yeah, so go check that out. If you're anywhere of a Castlevania fan, you must have to be a little bit of a fan to be listening to this podcast. Go check out this Kickstarter. I backed it at $60. That's the most I've ever paid for a Kickstarter. I definitely I absolutely want a hard copy of this game. I don't care what system it's on. I'm kind of the sap for the hard copies of any game. I want it. It's like Shovel Knight. You know, they're talking about making a hard copy of that. I will go buy that, even though I have the digital copy. But I wanted the, you know, I wanted a good way to back this game and to kind of get my return on investment. Didn't want just a digital code to one forget about one day. So yeah, go check it out. Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Obviously not excited as you, but who could be? I mean, you're pumped.
I can't wait.
All right, another game on the horizon is a game called Time Spinner, which is, you know, we probably should have done the Bloodstained last, because all the rest of these are just going to be like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, my God.
nobody cares. Anyways, it's a Sonic CD, how you could travel to different eras of the same place, but in a Metroidvania style.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I take it.
It looks pretty cool. I mean, I'm looking at a little GIF of it right now. It almost looks like a little blue-haired ninja kind of jumping around. I mean, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I could see that. A little blue-haired ninja.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it has a good little style. It looks almost 16-bit, I'd say. Kind of the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis art style. Yeah, it looks
16-bit, I would say. It looks kind of like that game Chasm that we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
A few episodes ago. They're going to have a 3DS port, so.
Good.
That should make you feel a little bit better.
It does.
All right. Another game on the horizon is called Ghost Song. Listen to Nick type it in.
Yeah.
Search it.
a lot of these, I looked at them all a while back. I just want to make sure I remember them.
Yeah. Ghost Song is, you know, I don't know a whole lot about this one, but you kind of look like a robot ninja in this game. And it's kind of a cross between... It almost looks a little bit like Dust, but it kind of, it's also got a kind of a Metroid-y feel to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a GIF right now of some of the jumping and platforming stuff. There's like a dash and he does like a dash and a double jump in the same move, and it looks pretty cool.
Oh, good. Yeah, so. I actually don't remember this one. That's why I was kind of, but I like the art style. The main character kind of looks like a modern Mega Man with all that blue. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of does. And he's got a little cape.
Yeah.
The only thing that worries me about this game is the animations look a little wonky right now, but it's not out yet, so
yeah.
I don't want to say anything about that, you know?
Yep.
All right. And then we've got another one called Cloudfall. And I really like the name of the developers of this game. Their name is Mood Oven. It's an oven for making moods.
It's like a mood ring.
Yeah,
that's
a mood oven. But I don't. This one's really weird looking. I'm not 100% sure if it's going to be Metroidvania, and I'm not all super interested in it. But I wanted to point it out to people just because they were. You play as a Cloud, I think, and you can transform yourself into different cloud-like things, like little tornadoes and rain clouds and stuff.
Yeah,
I think it's probably going to be pretty puzzle heavy. I doubt there's going to be a ton of combat.
Yeah, and sometimes games that look like this turn me off from the beginning. And it's not that I don't think they're good games, but I just don't see the allure from screenshots. Like the game Journey, which is like a phenomenal game on PlayStation. I just, looking at it from a glance, I thought, I don't really want to play that game. It just looks weird. But once you start playing it, you're like, wow. So
I've actually never played that one. So
yeah, it's
mainly because I've always been turned off by the way it looks.
Yeah, exactly. So you're in the same boat I am. I just kept hearing about it. Like, yeah, I better give that game a shot. So,
all right, In Existence. This game is, well, the only reason I want to bring this game up is because there's a part of this game where you're swimming and there's lightning bolts or electricity running from the top to the bottom of this cave that you're swimming in, and I thought Ninja Turtles for NES right off the bat. So that was the main reason I want to bring this one up. I'm pretty sure it's a Metroidvania, but it's I don't know, it looks kind of like a mix between Castlevania and Little Nemo or something.
Yeah, it's definitely got a nice retro art style. I like, and it's kind of like, it's more of leaning towards 8-bit, but it's a little bit more cleaner than your Nintendo-type graphics. So it looks pretty good.
Yeah. It has been greenlit, but I don't think it's released yet.
Okay. So
it will be coming out on Steam eventually. And then lastly, on Games on the Horizon, I mentioned this game before. It was called Beyond Human. It was not successfully funded, but it sounds like they're coming back for more. They're trying for more. So I still think this one looks pretty sweet myself.
Yeah,
I really like the way it looks.
I actually was disappointed it didn't get backed, so we'll have to make sure we back it next time. This is the one I mentioned, kind of looked like remind me of like a 2D version of Halo or something.
Yeah, it does. It kind of looks like a 2D Halo. If you look at the Kickstarter, the old Kickstarter, it's really cool because it's a cross between, I guess, shooting and slicing, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, shooting and slicing. You can, you've got a gun that you can shoot with, but then you've also got a lightsaber, basically, that you can attack with. So you can shoot and then dash towards them and then attack them with this lightsaber. And it just, the combat looks really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty interested in this game. Hopefully it gets back next time.
Yeah, once it gets back up, I'm sure I'll throw some cash at it.
Yeah, even if it doesn't, these guys seem pretty determined to get this game out. So
yeah, so it means they believe in their product. So hopefully, it'll happen some way.
So I think it's going to happen eventually. So just keep your eyes out for Beyond Human. All right, and lastly, just some general announcements for Metroidvania in general. And this one may not be a Metroidvania announcement or not. The Guacamelee guys have another game on the way.
Yeah.
It's called Severed, and I'm not sure if it's a Metroidvania. I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it didn't look like it, but I did hear, oh gosh, was it Juan? Was it the main character from Guacamelee? I've already forgotten.
Yeah, Juan.
Yeah, I heard he's going to make a cameo in it, so that's kind of cool.
To me, it looks like a first-person version of Guacamelee, because this still looks the same, neon and I don't know, Mexican.
Yeah, they definitely have their own little art style. Yeah.
So the art style kind of looks the same, but just looking at the pictures, because that's all they have right now is just screenshots, it looks like it's a first person game, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah,
I'm gonna play it just because I trust these people at this point.
Absolutely, me too.
So be on the lookout for that. It's called Severed by Drinkbox Studios. Another thing is Jeremy Parrish, the Metroidvania.com or whatever it is, the guy that's huge into Metroidvania, also does the Retronauts. Is that right?
Yeah, he's one of the huge reasons I even got into podcasting, because Retronauts was one of the first podcasts I really followed. So big fan of Jeremy Parrish and all his editorial work.
Cool. He's got I don't know if it's recently released or if it's been released for a while and I just now saw it, but he's got a book on Amazon called The Anatomy of Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool. It's like a super in-depth analysis of Metroid.
I heard he was working on that, and I didn't know it came out. I actually tried to reach out to Jeremy about our podcast, maybe coming on, chatting with us, but never heard back from him. I know he's a busy guy. He kind of helped found this new editorial company called US Gamer. He used to be part of 1UP Games that IGN owned, and then when they shut that down, he moved to IGN. I don't think that was quite his scene, so he went off and started his own little world. And a lot of the guys from Retronauts, they kickstarted that, or I think they did a Patreon and brought it back, and they have Retronauts still, but they talk an awful lot about Metroidvania on there. I know Jeremy's a huge fan of that, so yeah, I'm gonna check that out. It's definitely something.
It definitely looks like a pretty cool book to me. He's done other Anatomy of books also, I think, but this one he may have done, or is probably planning to do, a Castlevania Anatomy of, perhaps, I don't know, but
yeah,
this one is Anatomy of Metroid, which includes Metroid, Metroid 2, Super Metroid, and actually Kid Icarus in it.
Oh, cool.
It's like an in-depth analysis of them, so it looks pretty interesting to me. It's a little pricey, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and I don't expect anything but quality from him, so
yeah,
it's definitely something cool.
Okay, well, we'll put a link in the show notes for this book if anybody's interested.
Okay.
And then lastly, the last announcement that I have, this has been a long segment, but if we get this released in time, which I think we will because it's a month long, the Humble Bundle right now is for Nintendo indie games and includes I wish I had it pulled up right now, but I think it includes Guacamelee and SteamWorld Dig, which are both Metroidvania games, and Stealth Inc. 2, which I think is also considered a Metroidvania game. Oh, and The Fall. So The Fall is also... So it's like, it's basically like a 3DS Wii U Metroidvania pack.
Okay, I didn't realize it had The Fall in it. That might make me want to go get it now, because I already had Guacamelee and a SteamWorld Dig. But those other two games, that might be worth it. How much is a Humble Bundle?
It's whatever you want to donate.
That's right. That's right.
But you have to, in order to get certain games, you have to pay. You have to donate certain amounts. So, yeah, like, okay. if you want SteamWorld Dig and Stealth Inc. 2, you have to pay at least $10. And if you want The Fall, Ollie Ollie, which I played in, is actually really awesome.
I heard that was a skateboarding game.
Yeah, it's a skateboarding game. But that's beside the point, because that's not Metroidvania at all. But Ollie Ollie is pretty awesome.
Okay.
But if you want The Fall, Ollie Ollie, and Moon Chronicles, and whatever more games coming soon, it says here, then you have to pay more than the average, which is $9.20.
Ooh, that's not bad.
So if you donate $10, you get everything. That includes Guacamelee Super Turbo Championship Edition, by the way, which is way better than regular edition, in my opinion, because I played both at this point.
Oh, good.
And Stealth Inc. 2, which we may have to dip into that if I start playing with it and realize it's a Metroidvania. But it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is worth picking up.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I might have to go check it out now.
If you have a 3DS or a Wii U, then you should probably go to humblebundle.com and think about it. And it goes to a good cause. It goes to code.org, whatever that is. I haven't looked it up, but I'm sure it has something to do with teaching kids code, or, you know, it's a nonprofit dedicated to expanding participation in computer science. So,
oh, nice.
It's getting people into that field, which I guess is important. Okay. I don't know if their participation is waning or not, but if it is, then code.org helps, and my donation also helps.
Yeah. I think am I seeing Mighty Switch Force? Was that on there?
Yes,
I actually have that game. It's not Metroidvania, but it's made by a company who makes some Metroidvania games. Way Forward.
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool game. So,
I know you're a pretty big Way Forward fan.
I am.
I understand.
They put out some big gems. They put out some games I don't like, but most of their stuff I really like.
Okay, so you want to talk about Dust?
Sure, why not? Figure this might not be the longest conversation in the world.
Yeah, probably not.
Spoiler alert. And even before we even start, it's not that I like the game. I'm going to wrap it up, but we'll get there. I'm not going to hate on it. I just want to give that preface out there. The things I say are just critical. So there you go.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. I don't hate it. Spoiler alert, it's not getting an F.
Yeah, and so, it's probably not going to get an A.
Yeah, it's probably not going to get an A. But
all right.
Anyways, do you can you have some history for us, or do I need to?
Yeah, absolutely. This game, and you know, this was part of the big Xbox Live Arcade surge. You know, when 360 was kind of one of the big. For a long time, 360 kind of had the market over PS3. And to me, one of the big reasons was just that it came out first. And two, Xbox Live Arcade, really, it was just a really neat time because we didn't see all these indie games come out. So Dust came out. You know, it was backed by Microsoft. They did publish this game, so that was kind of good. And they brought it out in 2012. And the neat thing about this game, it was created, designed, written by one person, Dean Dodrell. And I heard an interview with him years ago, and it's funny that I didn't play this game until now because I was really interested in it. But I was real impressed that he did all this game by himself. I know he did contract out like the music and the voice acting and stuff, which he probably could have did a better job voice acting by himself. But anyways, that's beside the point. But, yeah, I was just real impressed.
Yeah.
Because if you look at a game from the glance, it's really pretty. The graphics are cool. The concept looks really cool from a glance. So I was really impressed just from the little bit I heard in the beginning. But yeah, that's really the history of it. You know, Microsoft backed him. Microsoft really was looking for these indie developers and trying to boost it a little bit. I know they were making a good profit off of it, so it probably wasn't just all a nice thing. But they really got involved with these. I mean, if it wasn't for Xbox Live Arcade, we wouldn't have saw Limbo, which is a fantastic game. Yeah, some of these other games that came out, I'm already drawing a blank. Oh, Shadow Complex, which hopefully we'll talk about one day on this show. So games like that came out on Xbox Live Arcade that kind of set the pace for these indie games, I believe. So, but
yeah, it's really really kudos to Microsoft for taking the head of that and running with it, because if it wasn't for that, I don't know if we would ever gotten to the point that we are now. We really have too many indie games, really, but I mean, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, and the Metroidvania genre, I mean, for a while, the only place I ever saw it was on your Nintendo Game Boy and Nintendo DS, just because mm-hmm. of the Castlevania games and the Metroid games on the GBA. Because after that, you didn't really see anything. They definitely weren't going to hit the big mainstream consoles, so the indie scene really kind of helped boost all, because most of the games we talk about here recently are indie games, that you would call indie games, so... big kudos to Microsoft for this.
But, mm-hmm.
but yeah, they classify this game as a action role playing beat 'em up, which I kind of like that, honestly.
I like that description.
Yeah, beat 'em up, hack and slash, whatever you want to call it. It definitely has that feel to it. It's a side scrolling. To me, it was like a side scrolling Devil May Cry type game where you can hit your guys up way up in the air and do these huge combos and junk like that.
I can definitely see that.
So, but
no, I mean, you know, we'll probably talk about this more when we actually get into the game discussion, but the combat was probably my favorite part of the game.
Yep. Do we want to jump into the story? Is that what's next?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to just touch on it briefly because I didn't really understand it.
Yeah, me neither.
To be perfectly honest with you. But you're Dust, which I don't really understand what Dust is.
Is he a fox? That's what I thought. Like, is this guy a
I don't
fox?
Know. He has a tail, yeah. And he wears a cloak.
Yeah.
He's some kind of a animal-human hybrid thing. Anyways, you wake up, you have amnesia, you don't know what's going on, and then this little fairy thing, who's also a fox, maybe.
Fidget. Is that?
Yeah, Fidget's the name of the character, but...
It's a creature called a Nimbat.
Okay, Nimbat. Yeah, right. That makes perfect sense. Anyways, the Fidget shows up and tries, and it's just really annoying, first of all. But
it was a little cute at first, and then they got really old fast.
It was a little cute, although it was a little, well, this is family friendly, so I don't know how to word this. The design was a little strange.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Fidget shows up, says, "Hey, you have a sword, and we gotta go to some town, and I'm in charge of hanging out with you because you have the sword or something." But then the sword starts talking.
Yeah.
And then it just gets it just goes, it just blows my mind at that point. I don't know what's going on. But I guess you spend the game trying to get your memories back, and then you have to defeat some big monster, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I didn't get through. I played about 4 or 5 hours into this game, maybe six, I can't remember. But I definitely didn't find out who I was.
I didn't either. I didn't play that long. So, I played probably 2 to 3, maybe.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. The first hour, I thought, this is not a Metroidvania.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was like, this is a side-scrolling beat-em-up. It's fun. It's not a Metroidvania, so we can talk about that on the show. And then I uncovered a couple of powers, and I was like, okay, it is a Metroidvania.
Yeah, it's definitely a more watered-down version of a Metroidvania, because it's pretty, I guess I could say it's linear in the fact that you know exactly where you need to go, and the map kind of just kind of moves forward stage to stage, but you do get certain powers that let you go back and unlock other areas of the game, but it's really not necessary to make the story go on.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
From the little bit of time I played, you get the powers, but they don't unlock portions of the level that you have to go to progress the story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just more you can go and get more money or more whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So what did you let's talk about the good, the combat and the controls, or at least what I thought was the good part.
Yeah. So gosh, when I booted this game up, I think I even sent you a message like, "Man, I'm going to like this game," because I was just putting these huge combos together. Not, you know, your X button's kind of your main attack, and then you can string together some bigger combos using the Y button, and you can hit up, down, left, and right, knock people up in the air, you know, fly across the screen with this diving attack. It's a pretty in-depth attack system for a side-scrolling game that's not on the 3D plane. So I definitely, you know, that was the best part of this game, and I can still see myself turning it on and just kind of going around killing stuff, having fun. And I seem to do that. So it's definitely, like I said, the high part of the game. I could just get engrossed into the combat. So it had a lot of variety how you can attack. So you kind of do your own little strategies. I know some of the enemies and things have weaknesses you got to exploit. Those big rock monster things kind of, they were kind of a pain in the beginning until you powered up. So, but as far as controls and the combat goes, I would give that area of the game an A+.
I would too. I would even say it's on par. I wouldn't say it's better than, but I would say it's on par with Guacamelee, which I was just gushing about the combat in that game too.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's really good. I mean, you can string almost endless combos together with just a few buttons and some directional presses, you know. And you got like magic and stuff you can use too.
Yeah.
So I would say that the controls, they are what make this game for me.
Yep. And the enemies coming at you are just endless. So being able to have good controls like that and the combat to be that responsive, that feeling of empowerment was fantastic. So yeah, controls, combat, A+.
Yep, so. I agree. What about the graphics?
You know, I probably like them better than I usually do, this style of graphics. It's very anime driven, which I'm not a big anime fan at all.
Yeah, not either.
So that kind of turned me off. The actual like poster of the game looks awesome. It's very dark in the background, and you just see dust and you see Fidget, but it doesn't look annoying. Once you get into it, it's very bright, very colorful. If you like the anime style, I can see where someone would really, really like this game. I'm kind of on the fence about it. It looks pretty, but I'm just not a big fan of that style. So,
yeah, I would say that I think the art in this game is amazing, especially like you said, it's one person does it, right? Basically, so I think the art itself is amazing. I'm not huge into the anime either myself, but I'm not going to knock it for that because somebody might be into that. So I think the art is the art style is cool. I think it's all well drawn. What started to get me is, I don't know, the more I played it, and I don't want to, this is normally a pretty mean way of saying things, but I thought the animations almost started to feel like a Flash game to me.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
And that really started to get on my nerves because it's I don't know, it just the running animation was kind of wonky, and then like the way things strung together, it's almost like it was detached from the background almost.
Yeah, I can kind of relate that to like an iOS or Android game that looks pretty, but it looks like a cartoon, but then the play is kind of, yeah, like you said, like a flash game. I can see that.
Yeah, and it's, I'm not trying to, you know, I still think the game looks good, and I think it animates well as far as smoothness and stuff is concerned, but it just something about that just throws me off, just the way that the character feels detached from the background, and the way, you know, some of the animations, it's almost like you, and I guess this is the way Flash works because I don't really know how it works, but I guess it's almost like when you hit the, say you hit the right button to go right, it's almost like somebody hit play on a movie and you just watch the movie. It doesn't, I don't feel like I'm disconnected from the character.
Yeah, I agree. There was definitely something weird there. I didn't think about it the way you did, but I kind of had the same feeling when I would move and stuff. So.
Yeah. Okay, now here's another pretty big gripe of mine. It's getting into the sound and music portion, but mainly it's the voice acting.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so bad for me. it really got under my skin. Fidget, for example, is just really annoying, and Dust is kind of I don't know how to describe how Dust was voice acted, but he was also somewhat annoying, but not in the same way. He's not upfront annoying. He's more of like, I can't believe this is my character. He's, you know.
Yeah. And I feel like you're either going to love or hate Fidget. I definitely don't like Fidget. And I feel like they could have done away with that character and just made more interaction between the sword and Dust. I mean, I thought that would be kind of cool, just with the sword.
Yeah, just the sword and Dust would have been cool, because the sword was cool. I like the talking sword. I thought that was pretty cool. I think this game would have benefited from no voice acting.
Yes.
You know, when I said Guacamelee, I wanted voice acting.
We just can't make ourselves happy, can we?
I just can't make it. Yeah. If voice acting, I guess you got to realize when you're making a game, and I've never really made a game. I've tinkered with some games, but I've never really fully, invested my time into making a game. But I think you have to realize that when you're doing voice acting, it either needs to be, especially nowadays, maybe not back in the 90s, because voice acting, it didn't matter all that much because we're just now getting it. We thought everything was cool. But now a lot of people do it. So if you're going to do it, you got to do it perfect. It's got to be done perfectly right. And the dialogue needs to be good.
You can't get away with Shenmue style voice acting, which I love that game. It's got some of the worst voice acting in the world. So.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was looking at some of the professional reviews, and it got really good reviews, but most of the gripes from the reviewers that gave it a little bit lower score kind of were on the same page as we are with the voice acting, so we're not the only ones.
Okay, that's good. That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I don't know, if I were reading the words instead of listening to them, I probably would have felt better. Yeah. I should have just turned subtitles on and then muted the computer or something.
So you played this on Steam?
I did. I played it on Steam.
Okay.
I had it on whenever they did the Xbox 360, what was it called? Gold Games or something like that?
Yeah, Games for Gold, I think.
Yeah, where they give it away for free. I had that, but then I got rid of my 360, so I actually had to pick this game up again on Steam.
I played it on 360, but I had to hook it back up. I actually had my 360 in the box, and I was going to sell it. And then we started this podcast. I'm like, how else am I going to play Shadow Complex?
I don't know how I'm going to play it.
I'll play mine and I'll just ship you my Xbox.
That's funny. I may have to go. John, my buddy John down the road, he's got an Xbox. Okay. And I think on his Xbox is where I bought Shadow Complex. So he's probably still got it.
Nice.
Anyways, did you notice any music? For some reason, I didn't even notice music in this game.
It definitely didn't add or take away from the game. We'll just say that. So I remember some music. I tried listening to it, but it was okay. It was good. It wasn't anything spectacular, and it wasn't annoying or anything. So
it's just kind of ambient, I guess, because I didn't really notice it.
It was just background music. And a lot of games nowadays, like I mentioned this in another podcast, you don't have that. To me, modern games don't have that same feel or just the memories involved as the retro games do. So I can't. There's a few games with exceptions, I will say, but games like this, it's just background music to me.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it too. Well, so tell me, Well, neither one of us finished this game, right?
No.
We neither one of us even probably even came close because we only played. You played 4 or 5 hours. I played 2 or 3. So neither one of us really even came close to finish it. So what is it? Why did we not? I'll tell you mine after you tell me yours. But what caused you to just get disinterested?
It is just the repetitive nature of it. And you know, and the funny thing is, most Metroidvania games to me get repetitive, but this one, I don't know. I felt like I was just doing the same thing over and over and over again. I was getting it, and I kept coming back to it. And then one day I just kind of, well, maybe I'll play it tomorrow. No, I'm not playing it today. And I just got away from it. I just felt like every time I popped it in, I was doing the exact same thing. And the way the enemies would respawn in each area, especially if there's a ton of them, like I said, the combat was the best part of the game, but I felt like they relied a little too much on the combat. I would have enjoyed more platforming, more variety of a game like that. With, you know, like with Castlevania, Metroid, with the Castlevania style games, I felt like there's a lot of exploration, a lot of just, I don't know, just other challenges than just walk into this room and kill all this stuff and go to the next room. So to me, it was just the repetitive nature. And of course the voice acting kind of started to turn me off too. So, but yeah, that's the reasons why I didn't go back to it.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. The voice acting and the story from the get go turned me off, but I forced myself to keep playing. Cause I was like, maybe it's just, maybe the game's really fun outside of the story and the voice. See, to me, a lot of times, with these style Metroidvania style games, I have to kind of get invested in the story at least a little bit,
yeah,
in order to want to keep pushing through. And this game just did not invest me in the story at all, and the voice acting just kind of compounded upon that to make it worse. But I wanted to keep playing mainly for the show,
yeah,
and to see if there was more to the game than just the combat and a lackluster story. But there never really was, so I kind of stopped. And I kept trying to go back, like you said. But, and you know, another problem for me is, like we mentioned earlier, there's backtracking, but there's really no exploration.
Yeah.
There's obvious spots where you need to use a certain ability or item that you can, if you remember, you can come back to, and then you get open a treasure chest and get some stuff out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you never really... I don't know. There's never really any, there was no motivation for me to do that. So in essence, this game turned from a Metroidvania into just a side scrolling beat 'em up for me,
yeah.
Because I never felt motivated to go to explore anything.
Yeah. And I think something I kind of forgot, just the overall pacing of the game. Like I felt like the cutscenes were too often too much. You know, a lot, like you think about Super Metroid, the beauty of that game is that there's just none of that. It's just, here's your sandbox open world, go at it. And I didn't feel that way at all. With, I felt like Dust was a little too scripted for me.
Yeah, and see, you don't need all that script. Like, look at Castlevania and Circle of the Moon. See, the games we played, Circle of the Moon and Super Metroid. Okay, both of those games, they have very few cutscenes. There's very few interactions.
Yeah,
but through the environments and just, I mean, they still tell a pretty comprehensive story. I mean, you look at Super Metroid. They give you a little bit at the beginning to tell you what kind of what you're doing. And then as you're doing it and as you're moving through the world, then you kind of make up your own story kind of. But I never felt like I was lacking a story.
No.
Even though they never gave me one, really. And this game, I really didn't want as much story, and they just kept shoving it down my throat, you know?
Agreed.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we're bashing this game a little too much, but at the same time, it's really just not on par with what we've been playing so far,
yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. This is kind of random. I meant to mention it with the voice acting, but do you remember running into, like, the random vendor that was just out in the middle of the...
Yes.
I don't know why, but every time I ran into him, I just expected him to ask you, what are you buying? Like the guy from Resident Evil
That's
4.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that, too, whenever I saw it.
I was like, oh, I would. It makes me want to go play Resident Evil 4 again for, like, the sixth time, but... Yeah, I, every time I saw him, I thought that popped in my head, and then it was a letdown when he didn't say it.
Yeah, that's funny. We didn't even mention that too before we exit the gameplay discussion. There's like some kind of crafting system or something that goes on.
Yeah,
right?
I
never really dug too deep into that.
You got some, like, I don't know if they're gems or artifacts or something, but like, you just kind of, I don't know. I didn't really seem, didn't feel too deep to me. He just kind of buy stuff and then add it. I don't know. I can't really remember it to any depth, but it was just.
Yeah. So that's a one that really sticks with you. That portion of the game.
Yeah. I just, when you have a game where you upgrade your skills and your weapons and have inventory, you've really got to make it easier, intuitive, and I don't feel like they did a good job on this. I look back at games like Skyrim and maybe Borderlands, and of course like the Diablo games. Those games have some of the best inventory management possible. It's easy, it's understood, you can understand it, but I just, games like this, you're just like, oh, I have this, I didn't even know I had that. It's like,
yeah, I see that. Yeah, there, you can also level up and gain experience, which unlocks stuff, magic, attack power and stuff like that. But
And I felt like I got capped off on that. Like, it only let me upgrade everything to a certain point, and I never knew how to get past that certain point. Because like, I think, I don't remember if it was like 4 blocks or 5 blocks, but I upgraded every skill of mine. Because usually when I play those games, I mentioned I would just take my attack and my power all the way to the end and then leave my magic behind, but it wouldn't let you do that for some reason. So that kind of upset me a little bit.
Yeah, there's a little bit of lack of freedom there.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing.
I'm all about having a barbarian type character in these, a game where you can kind of choose your powers. So couldn't quite do that on this one.
Yep. Well, that's really all I have to say about the game.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yep. That wraps my thoughts up.
So let's give it a rating or a grade. I guess we give it grades, right?
Yeah. I can go. I'll give it a C, just average. If this were like an out of a 10 rating, I'd probably give it like a 6.5 out of 10. But yeah, I'm going with a C. Not plus, not minus, just a C.
Yeah. Okay. I was originally going to give it a C, right? But then I just now looked back and I gave Circle of the Moon a C plus.
No.
I don't feel like I can give this game a C. I'm going to have to go with C minus.
Ooh.
I think.
All right.
Even though Circle of the Moon had that game breaking, caused me to quit and never come back, I still found it more enjoyable than Dust ultimately. So I think I'm going to have to give Dust a C minus. Nope. I don't know. C sounds pretty good too, though.
Yeah.
Let's go with C. I'll give it a C minus, but then let's give our total rating a C.
Okay.
How about that? That makes me feel better.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, like I said, it's not, I don't hate the game. It was enjoyable. I don't know. I may play it again one day. I don't know if that will happen. I don't have the urge right now, but I can see where it would be enjoyable to play a game like that. If they ever come out with a second version, which I've heard they're talking about, I'd probably give it a try. I'd have to go catch up on this story, but...
Yeah, I had to figure out the story.
Yeah.
So I would say that, what has happened? So this guy, is he still working on his own? See, because what I was thinking was this is the perfect person to put on your development team and work on some other game. Because he seems like he's really talented at certain aspects of developing a game, but some he's not, right?
Yeah.
So I would think that he would be the perfect guy to add to a team and do like art style or help with the combat system, because those are two things that are just really awesome about this game, but then some other stuff are lackluster.
Yeah.
So I would hope that he has either developed a team of his own that can help him in the areas that he lacks, or he's been added to a team that...
Yeah, I just...
Where his talents can be used.
I just clicked on his name. I didn't see anything. So that's Wikipedia anyways. Who knows? I'm sure there's something out there about him, but yeah, that's a good point. I would like to see him... Because the combat was so good, and I applaud his just initiative of creating something new, something kind of different, random kind of. But yeah, I would like to see him. I definitely will check out whatever he does next.
Yep, I agree. So if we were to rank this compared to our other games, I'm guessing it goes to the bottom.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, but that's only fourth place, so.
Yeah, and we're talking about Super Metroid, Castlevania Circle of the Moon, and Guacamelee, so that's not, I'm sure we'll play worse games.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty good. So it's last, but that's not the worst thing in the world.
No.
we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'm not sure why we didn't put this segment nearer to the beginning, but pricing and availability, I think it's been on and off of Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus. So occasionally you can catch it for free. But generally speaking, I think it's about, what is it, about $10.
Yeah, I think it was $10 to $15. I bought it. I can't remember exact price, but it was something like that.
So. But you can get it on Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus for the Xbox 360 and PS3. I think you can get it on PS4 now too, can't you?
I think it may just be on PS4 because I remember. Oh, okay. I'm not quite up to the new systems yet, but I prefer PS3 over Xbox, and I don't remember seeing it on the PS3 store.
Okay. So. Yeah, you're probably right then, because I don't ever remember having it on PS3.
Yeah.
It was just Xbox. So it must have been Xbox Live on 360, PC, Linux, Mac OS X.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4.
Yep.
Anything that's got Steam, it's on Steam, and then PlayStation 4 and Xbox 360. All right, we asked a question, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And we asked, if you could have any existing franchise made into a Metroidvania-type game, what would it be? Got some pretty interesting comments, too. I got this pulled up if you don't have it. Are we going to read all these on the show?
We'll just pick some of your favorites.
Okay, well...
A handful of favorites, I guess. Or unless there's not that many.
There's a lot of conversation in between a few guys. One of the ones in particular I really enjoyed was between Sean and Casper, because Sean recommended Mega Man. He'd like to see Mega Man as a Metroidvania style game, and Casper said, hey, you know, Mega Man ZX is a Metroidvania and it's on Nintendo DS. I haven't played Mega Man ZX yet. I heard it's not the best game, so maybe with Sean I kind of agree that having a good Mega Man Metroidvania would be pretty sweet. So that's one. Another one I thought was interesting was from, I'm going to have trouble pronouncing this guy's name. It's D-A-N-I-L-O, Danilo. He said Sonic would be interesting if turned into a Metroidvania-style game. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Sonic. I wouldn't think of a platforming type thing. You know, guys who don't really have a weapon, so that would be interesting.
And then, yeah, I don't know.
And then, of course, on the other side of that spectrum, our good friend Joe Koppel said he would like to see Mario done this way. So that's kind of neat.
I could see Mario.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I don't know what kind of powers he would get, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, that would be cool, because like, maybe there's like a wooden wall that you can't get through unless you get your flower power and you can burn through it, yeah, and stuff like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be neat. You can only fly to an area if you get the cape, stuff like that. So, Zachary Richards, he said he was going to suggest Sonic, but he had an interesting one here. He did say Double Dragon, which I thought that would be kind of cool, like a beat-em-up Metroidvania style. But then he said Rocket Knight Adventures, which was kind of that kind of took me off guard.
Yeah.
Love Rocket Knight. It's an awesome Genesis game. But yeah, I thought that'd be kind of neat, because he has a jet. Yeah, he says, think about it. He loses his jetpack and his sword. And in order to make it to otherwise unreachable locations, he has to find them and other power-ups. So that's
and he can, well, and his jetpack could be continually upgraded too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That would work. That would work.
So, and then Casper again, and then Derek Fletchell also mentioned Contra, which I thought was pretty cool. I'm a huge Contra fan. I'm like, yeah, that'd be awesome.
I guess you get the spreader gun and different guns.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't know. It's hard to shoehorn in a different game into the Metroidvania genre, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, after, you mentioned it earlier, but now after tinkering with Dust and what you said, a Devil May Cry. Yeah. Metroidvania would probably be pretty cool if they could get the combat worked out.
Yeah. I had a weird idea, and this may or may not work. I would like to see, it could be any of these franchises, but like Street Fighter and Metroidvania. And hear me out. You would have, and this is what would stink for a lot of fans, and this, I think this is where it might get broken, is that you can only have one character. So say you're Guile. And every one of the areas, guys that are in the fighting tournament are in different areas of this map. And you would have to fight, like, I don't know, if you remember playing Tekken, there's like Tekken Force, where you're fighting all these like Tekken baddie guys. It kind of be like that until you got to a certain room. You can only get to these rooms when you get your certain power-ups. And the boss fight, it actually just turns into like a Street Fighter 2 fight. I don't know.
That would be cool.
A weird idea. I can see a lot of areas where that would be completely broken, but I just thought that'd be really neat. And then I was kind of on board with a Mega Man or Contra Metroidvania. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I was just thinking how awesome Mega Man actually would be, because you could, let's say Mega Man, you go, you don't really have to earn any unique powers. You just have to somehow implement the boss powers that you gain into opening up new areas. So I think Mega Man would be, I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to do that now.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple of the guys on here mentioned Zelda, which Zelda in its own way kind of has the elements, but maybe like a 2D, like Zelda 2 style, but like more of like you're in one huge dungeon and all the areas are little mini puzzle dungeons or something. So that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, Zelda 2 almost did it, but then they threw in that overworld thing.
Yeah.
I think if Zelda 2 would have stuck with 2D and not threw in that crappy overworld, then it would have been would have been in the Metroidvania.
Yep.
The only thing I would add to the conversation, and this may be a bit for another question. So I'll save this for another question because it's not directly related to what other game would you like to make a Metroidvania. So
okay,
I'll save it.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be the next question.
There you go. Yeah, I think some of these games that people don't play a lot of, it's kind of hard to ask those questions. Because I noticed, especially with Dust and even Guacamelee, a lot of people didn't play that game. So they're either maybe playing with us or maybe we'll play after this. So asking the more general question like this for some of the lesser known games might work out better for us.
Yeah, I like the lesser general questions. Yeah. I think it's fun because I mean we're going to talk about the game. This is not going to be just this is a game by game show, but this is a lot more than that because we've got the world of Metroidvania also. So I mean I'm thinking the game segment is just one segment of the show. You know,
yeah.
I mean that makes sense to me.
Absolutely.
So do you want to give a copy of Dust away to one of these people?
Yeah, man, I don't know.
While you've got it pulled up, can you do the random pick there?
Yeah, I'm gonna. As you can see, I got my finger up. I'm going to scroll up and down, close my eyes. It's just going to land on somebody. And that goes to... it goes to you. Hold on.
Yes!
Bam. Gabe Van Gilder. I can't say your name right, but Gabe, you win.
All right. Gabe, email us. Actually, email me, michael@metroidvania.com, and I will get you... that game. It's for Steam, so hopefully you can play a Steam game.
Yep.
If not, then I'm sorry. That's all I've got.
I knew I was going to point to me or you. It just happened to happen.
Yeah. So I guess we need to, tell everybody what the next game is.
Yeah.
And two, decide the next question that we can ask.
Okay.
If we can do that. So it's my pick. And in light of this awesome Humble Bundle that we just got, I would like to play Steam World Dig.
Yep.
I think it looks like, I've played a little bit of it already, and it looks like a really interesting take on a Metroidvania.
Yeah, I've honestly already dumped 2 hours into it when you mentioned it the other day, so it's going to be a good one.
Okay, so that will be the game then. And I will say... this will be a question that kind of ties into, because I've got a really good question. This will be a question that kind of ties into SteamWorld Dig, but is not directly related. What is a gameplay element that you would like to be put into a Metroidvania game that we don't see a lot? Like this game here kind of does something unique. I guess what's a unique gameplay element that we don't see a lot in Metroidvania? You know, this game is unique in the fact that it's an open world, but it's not an open world that you can just traverse freely. You're actually digging through the ground to find stuff, right? Yeah. And you got to dig down into this mine, and that's how you do the open world. So it's completely different idea of how the open world works. And I'll go ahead and give my answer because it's fresh in my mind. I would like to see somebody effectively do a two-player Metroidvania. I know there's been some attempts in the past, but I would like to see a good two-player Metroidvania.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. I really don't have any good answers right now. It's a good question, though. I'll have to think about that.
We can come back to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next episode. But that's what I would like. That's the question I would like to ask, is what unique... I mean, it doesn't have to be super unique, but I guess since I'm asking what's one that most Metroidvanias don't do, I guess it has to be unique, right? So,
yeah.
What gameplay element would you like to be put into a Metroidvania that is not typically in one?
Nice. I like it.
All right.
And we'll post that again on the Facebook page. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. I better write that down. Okay. That's pretty much the show, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just got to talk about where to find us, right? Social media stuff.
Oh, yeah. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group.
You know what's cool? You know what's cool about that? We have more people on our group than we have likes on our Facebook page.
Yeah, because Facebook pages are pointless nowadays. For our purposes, that they're pointless.
Yeah, especially if you're starting up. I have a little bit of trouble with my existing podcast, but if you're starting up, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can find us on there. I think it's facebook.com/groups/
Metroidvania Mayhem.
Thank you. Then there's also Twitter, which is Metroidvania Pod, at Metroidvania Pod. And we have Google Plus, which I'm not sure anybody uses it besides me. I like it. We're on there. Metroidvania Mayhem, I think, on there as well. Actually, no. Just search it. You're not going to be. I think it's Metroidvania Mayhem Podcast. I don't know. So never mind, but we're on Google Plus. If you use it, search it, you'll find it. You'll find us. Metroidvania Mayhem. I think that's all social media. We're just on the major three.
Yeah.
No, we have a Tumblr if you're interested in that.
Tumblr.
But it doesn't get used. So
well, the great thing is if you just go to google.com and Google Metroidvania Mayhem, which I'm doing right now, it pulls up all kinds of good stuff about us. So
all right.
Yeah.
That sounds like a winner to me.
Yep.
We also have a website. MetroidvaniaMayhem.com.
Yep.
That's where the show notes are posted. That's really all that's posted there, but I try to lay out the show notes so that you can click links to the games I mentioned during the World of Metroidvania Mayhem. You can also see the grade we've given the game, and the current ranking of games is on there too.
Yeah, and thanks thanks for doing all that, Michael, because I really have had no part in the website. So.
Hey, that's all right. You do all the editing. Yeah. So,
hey, we try. We try to split this stuff.
It's fair trade, I think. Yeah, so that's where to find. Oh, you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yes, leave reviews.
And we love. Yes, please. We love reviews. We kind of got the reviews kind of stopped there for a minute.
Yeah.
I think it's because we didn't offer a game.
Yeah,
people like to review when they think they're going to get something.
I always like giving my spiel. You know, this is free entertainment we bring everybody. The least you can do is go out and give us a review. If you like us, of course. If you don't like us, maybe stay away from the reviews.
Yeah. If you don't like us, just quit listening. That's fine. I'm okay with that. All right, so that's pretty much it. Do you want to shout out any retro junkies? I mean, nobody's really been shouting us out, so.
No, but I love the fact that we can say, if you'd like to look at all the other Retro Junkies podcast articles, videos, go to theretrojunkies.com. We're all there. So I don't have to say, we'll go on the Facebook page. You might see some stuff. No, we got a website. It's just a nice little easy dashboard. Click on podcasts. We're on there. And then all the other shows that we're in and all of our buddies from the Retro Junkies Network are there. So it's a family-friendly network. I'd say the majority of our listeners probably heard us from there. I know we have some new listeners who actually found us from other means, which is pretty awesome. But go check that out if you like the style of our podcast. We got a lot of cool podcasts over there.
Yeah, most other podcasts, especially the other ones that Nick and I are in this same style.
Yeah.
Kind of segmented and talk about a game. Yep. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Right. So. Very lighthearted, open discussions. We're not like robots. So I like
right.
I like going down little rabbit trails. So.
Although we didn't go down too many rabbit trails today.
Nah, but it was good, though. It was fluent conversation. I didn't feel like I had to. I hate being on podcasts where you have to like study the notes and make sure that you don't forget a point. So this was good.
Yeah, I'm sure we forgot stuff, but I don't really care. I'm not that.
Yeah, well, it helps that we're buddies outside of this. So we don't have to worry about the awkwardness of. It's good. Yeah. It's good that we have an outline and a format.
Okie dokie. So SteamWorld Dig, hopefully within a month.
Yeah, I can see it. I'll be ready.
I think I'll be ready too because I'm really enjoying it right now.
Me too.
My only problem is if I can nail down which system I'm playing it off, because I've probably played about 6 hours total.
Yeah.
But it's been 2 hours on Steam, 2 hours on 3DS, 2 hours on Wii U, so I've really not gotten anywhere yet.
Yeah. I'm getting a little worried right now because my oldest son's playing my DS. And I'm afraid he opened up my save file and losing all my money. He tends to do that with a lot of my games.
That's so, fun.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to shoot for July 1st.
Yep.
For a SteamWorld Day.
All right.
All right. It's been fun.
Absolutely. So, yeah, catch you later.
See ya.
We'll be right back.